It's the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward in for Kate Archer-Kent. It's been less than a week since President Joe Biden announced another extension for the pause on student loan payments, as well as his decision that he would cancel up to $20,000 in federal student loan debt, potentially affecting as many as 43 million borrowers. The reaction, both from advocates and critics, has been intense as policymakers weigh the costs and benefits of such a move. Join in this discussion with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah Godlewski is the Wisconsin State Treasurer. Sarah, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning, Shereen. It's great to be here.
What is your reaction to President Joe Biden's student debt plan? Were you surprised?
I wasn't surprised because we've been following what President Biden has been talking about, and he has been an advocate of giving working people a little bit of relief. And we know right now in the state of Wisconsin, over 700,000 Wisconsinites are struggling. And this is at a debt of over $23 billion. And so this kind of first step in providing relief for those folks at either $10,000 or $20,000, I think is a step. And look, we've got a lot more to do when it comes to whether it's college affordability or investing in the trades. But I do think that this is something, and in my conversations with Wisconsinites, they've been grateful to getting that breathing room.
What are some of the potential strengths or weaknesses of this plan as you see it?
Well, I think that there are a few benefits. Like, look, one of the pieces of this executive order is working on making payments more manageable. And so allowing folks that are struggling with student debt to pay 5% of their discretionary spending when before it was 10. But I think some of the other pieces that are not often talked about is, look, like something that we know that has been a problem even right here in Wisconsin is for-profit colleges. And what President Biden now is investing in is an enforcement unit that's going to provide oversight and kind of further strengthen accreditators who are really ripping students off and ripping off families and creating a watch list of schools or institutes or programs that have high debt and poor outcomes. And we know in Wisconsin, back when Governor Walker, he got rid of one of our oversights for for-profit colleges, and ITT Technology, which was a for-profit college, literally racked up millions of dollars of debt. They then claimed bankruptcy, and Wisconsin taxpayers had to potentially pay for that. And so I think that this is something that is a benefit of this executive order in providing transparency and accountability with for-profit schools. I think the other big piece is that we are so grateful to our firefighters and police officers and teachers, and the student debt forgiveness program for public service individuals has been literally left on the wayside. You know, 99% of applicants that have applied for public service loan forgiveness have been denied. And so under this executive order, it is reopening up that process. So 99% of people who apply are not going to be denied. They should be rewarded for the public service that they are providing for their communities.
We're talking about President Joe Biden's new student debt relief plan. Our guest is Wisconsin's state treasurer, Sarah Godlewski. How do you see this federal student debt relief affecting the state economy? What impact do you think that will have?
Well, let's look at the number at the end of the day. We know that our student debt number here in our state is $23 billion. And on average, we're seeing students are carrying about $32,000 in debt. And that has an impact in their ability to, let's say, buy a home. And we know home ownership is critical to strengthening communities. It's preventing individuals from actually participating in the economy, whether it's buying cars or starting even a family. I know when I was a part of the student debt task force with the governor, one of the things that we did was we did a listening tour around the state, and folks were coming and saying, look, like, I would like to start a family, but I'm really worried about how I can afford that when my job that I that I have currently between rent and student loans and my car loan. Like, I just can't stay ahead of all of it. And we're seeing that even right here in Wisconsin, we're below the national average when it comes to first-time homeowners or young homeowners. And so to me, we are seeing, I think, this lack of engagement in the economy because folks are just continuing to pay off this debt at a time when we know that college affordability today was very different than what it was when my parents went to college. You know, when my parents went to college, tuition per year was under $1,000. They could pay for that just by working a summer job. Today, it is over $10,000, and you can't make that up in just a summer job like you could. Mm-hmm. With the previous generation. And so I think that this is all having significant impact, mm-hmm. and we're going to see re-engagement, I think, in an important way.
Well, let's go to the phone. We have Steve from Sun Prairie with us. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, I guess I want to take issue with one comment your guest had about for-profit colleges. The vast majority of the debt that is incurred by students are from public colleges, and that we need to look at if there's a misrepresentation in terms of what the value is for the degree that you're going to get. We need to look at public colleges that are offering degrees that have no ability to pay those debts off, such as gender studies and things like that. We need to look at cutting costs from public mm-hmm. colleges that have raised significantly more than inflation over the past 20 years.
Steve, thank you. And Sarah, that really ties into what you were just talking about, how the cost of tuition has gone up so much. What do you think about what Steve said?
No, I completely agree with Steve. I think what I was sharing with listeners is that there's a lot more involved in the governor's executive order than just the $10,000 that folks are talking about. But I think in addition to Steve's comment, you know, one of the other pieces we've got to look at that I mentioned at the top of the hour was tech schools and trade schools. We know there's a lot of opportunity for not just good paying jobs, but there's no debt often involved. And these are incredibly affordable opportunities and people can start getting credits in high school. And so I think we really need to build on these partnerships and really grow these opportunities.
One of the big questions about this plan is how it should be paid for. University of Pennsylvania researchers say this plan would cost between $300 and $980 billion over 10 years. How do you see the federal government paying for this plan?
I mean, the one thing that President Biden has talked about is that through his work, he has worked diligently to actually cut the debt. I mean, we saw with the Inflation Reduction Act, we're actually cutting the debt by whether it's raising the corporate tax rate to finally providing enforcement with the IRS to make sure folks pay their fair share. And so I think continuing to do this type of work that the president has advocated for is going to help put these pieces together.
We have State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski with us. This is the State Capitol Report. Join in, 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward. We continue our discussion on federal student loan forgiveness and other issues in state politics. Join in on what matters to you and which issues you think elected officials should focus on right now. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah Godlewski is the Wisconsin State Treasurer. She stays with us. I'm curious about what your feelings are about this plan, the debt forgiveness plan, when I've heard some people say this is going to put pressure on lawmakers to reduce student debt further. Do you see that happening, or is this going to be it really?
I will say from my perspective, I think that this is it because we know that something that's incredibly important in this conversation is we have to get to the systemic root of what's causing this debt. You know, we just can't keep putting Band-Aids on the problem. And so there's, I think, two next steps with that. I think one is college affordability, You know, we know that when our public university started, over 70% of it was actually paid for by the state, and less than 30% were paid for through tuition. Now today, that's the exact opposite. Tuition is a primary revenue stream that funds our public institutions, and students and their families carry that burden. And so we've got to think that through. You know, the second piece is that we have not put enough emphasis on our tech schools and our trade schools. You know, we know that partnering with our high schools, students could start actually getting their, whether it's their electrician certificate, or they could become a tradesman. And by the time that they graduate from high school, they could actually start going into the field and have this important skill that pays good benefits, pays a good livable wage. But that often has not been emphasized in our high schools, I think, in the way that we've really got to think through in promoting these high need jobs. You know, we need plumbers, we need electricians, we need folks in the child care industry. And so I think this is also a really big opportunity that we have to move forward on.
On the phone, we have Kurt from Stevens Point with a question for you. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for calling.
My son just graduated last May, and he only has $5,000 in debt. But we were told over the weekend by a couple people that in order to be eligible, you have to have already made 60 payments towards your debt. Is there any truth to that?
What's the answer to that, Sarah?
You know, Kurt, I do not believe that is true, but there has been a navigation hotline that has been set up for folks in the state through the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt. That number, I can give it to you, is 1-833-589-0750. And they have been fielding calls because we know, too, a lot of this recent legislation has been getting into a lot of the fine details. I've even been hearing, you know, do people get refunds, for example, and what state taxes? And so I think there's a lot of still fine print, but this 1-800 number should be very helpful in helping you navigate that.
Thank you for providing that number. We also have Laura from Middleton on the line as well. She has another question as well, and maybe that phone number can help her as well. Hi, Laura. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So, yeah, I'm just – this loan forgiveness does not apply to those of us who, for financial reasons, we consolidated our student loans to kind of make the payments more affordable. And so now I have, you know, my debt, which I totally intended to pay off and want to. But so I consolidated it, but now it is not eligible for this loan forgiveness. And it's also because it's considered private now, but also it's not dischargeable in bankruptcy because it's a student loan. So, and again, this is on top of a system that didn't consider me financially independent until I was 24, mm-hmm. Never mind that I was independent from the time I was 19.
Thank you, Laura. Sarah, can you give out that number again so that Laura can have that number?
And also, love
to hear your thoughts on what she had to say.
Well, first of all, Laura, I want to say I hear you, and I was actually in a very similar situation myself. I tried to get ahead of my student debt, and I consolidated all of it. And at that time, it was all under a private institution. And so it is incredibly frustrating that you're trying to do the right thing. But look, I think that there are kind of two opportunities. I think one is there is that navigation hotline that might be able to help answer some questions, but there's also a new tool that the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt recently released. And it's a one-stop shop where you can share your student debt information and they can pull in potential different resources available, whether that's grants or refinancing opportunities to make things potentially easier. And that website is wistrong.bysavi.com. That's Y Strong, so W-I-Strong, S-T-R-O-N-G dot B-Y-S-A-V-I dot com. And that's that one-stop shop tool that could be helpful in your situation. But I know that you are not alone when it comes to trying to do the right thing and consolidating.
Thanks for answering that. I appreciate that. Our guest is Wisconsin State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski. I want to ask you about some things that you hope to accomplish this year yet, but we have one more caller on this issue, and it's Bill from Ashland. Hi, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I'm sorry. I might lose you real quick. My first question or point is that your guest dodged the question, just like everybody else who's in favor of this bill, about who's going to pay for it, where's the money coming from. It's not coming from any of the policies that Joe Biden set in place. The second thing is the fact that we're pushing college so heavily in the first place. There is a huge shortage of truck drivers, of service workers. There's more jobs out there you can shake a stick at. And they pay much better than a lot of these entry-level jobs that most college kids, when they graduate, don't even get placed into a job that has anything to do with a degree. So if you could address both of those, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Sarah, what about the payment issue? Who is paying for this?
Well, I think just to get back to two of his questions, I think the first thing is, Joe, as I have mentioned, I couldn't agree more with you that we need to do everything we can to push the trades and partner with high schools so kids know about all of their opportunities and they're not taking on this ridiculous student debt. They can, whether it's drive truck or be a plumber or be a part of the childcare system. These are all high needed jobs that we've got to do better about advocating, promoting, and giving kids in our high schools an opportunity to start getting those credentials now. I think the second piece goes to, one of the things that the president has talked about, and I'm using the Inflation Reduction Act as the example, is whether it is increasing the corporation tax rate to what we are looking at when it comes to enforcement with the IRS. But there are opportunities that he has been looking at paying for this.
Thank you for addressing that. I appreciate that. You ran for U.S. Senate this year instead of running for re-election as state treasurer, and you ended your campaign before the primary election. I know you endorsed Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. What do you hope to accomplish before you leave office this year?
Well, Shereen, I will tell you, when I got into my office, it was we really worked on doing a total transformation. You know, when my first day, I will never forget, there were wires that were hanging down from the ceiling. My Wi-Fi was turned off in my office, and I was given a pay-as-you-go flip phone as a way to communicate with constituents. And for me, it has always been about what we can do to make life more affordable and to best serve our communities. And so I've really focused on a few things. One is transparency and accountability with our tax system. We started what I hope to be a new tradition in the office called the Taxpayer Report, which talks about where our tax dollars are going to and what we're benefiting from, because you shouldn't have to have an accounting degree to do that. The second thing that we've really been working on is economic security for Wisconsinites. I started a home ownership task force, and out of that task force, we created a program called Take Root Wisconsin, which is helping Wisconsinites buy, fix, and stay in their homes. And we have recently also worked in partnership with the governor's office to launch the Help for Homeownership program, which is helping folks who have been behind in whether it is their mortgage payments, utility payments, or even property taxes. And then the third piece is working through on win-win investments. So I chair a $1.4 billion trust fund. And under my leadership, we have provided the largest distributions to our public schools so they can buy hotspots e-learning books. And that's important because if we're not there to support our public schools, it would be taxpayers that would be making up for that deficit. And so continuing that smart investment strategy, and through these investment strategies, we've been able to even finance projects in local communities across the state. You know, since my tenure, we have invested in over 200 communities. And these are projects like, you know, bridge repairs or flood recovery, or even construction for public safety buildings. And so I think these win-win investments are really critical for the future of our state, and something that I hope my predecessor continues.
Sarah, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Godlewski is the Wisconsin State Treasurer. Ahead on the State Capitol Report, a state politics reporter shares insight on former State Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman's 2020 election review and his influence over the past 13 months. Join in, 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. News Update is next on the Ideas Network.